How can we fill the 400-year gap between the Old and New Testaments? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September is the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. You can find out more about this new resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Apocrypha by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with study notes. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's a tragic story that we started hearing about over the weekend. A Lutheran church in Pakistan burned almost to the ground by Muslim protesters. Another example of the Muslim street. And what is sparking this stuff? Why does this happen? Why is Muslim outrage taken out on Christians in Muslim countries? Joining us to talk about this burning of a Lutheran church in Pakistan by Muslim protesters, Pastor Farooq Khan. He's a regular guest, a native of Pakistan, and he's Associate Executive Director for Pablo, People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, based in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Pastor Khan, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Are you surprised, with your knowledge of what the street is like in Pakistan, are you surprised by this burning of a Lutheran church?
No, it was not, absolutely not a surprise. Actually, we were on our guard. We knew that the backlash of anything that happens in the West is Christian community in Pakistan. And that is a very common thing that happens, that whenever something is written derogatory to Islam, it is always the Christian community of Pakistan that is punished. And this was absolutely not a surprise. We were just on our guard, and we were praying that Lord may give them the sense that they do not come towards the Christian community. Certain events happened which led to this whole thing. First is the movie that came out, that very unprofessional film that was depicting Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. But on the other hand, there were certain things that contributed to it. The governor of the largest province, Punjab, he declared that when an 11-year-old girl was under the blasphemy charges, the Pope Benedict gave a statement to release the girl. And when there was something against the Muslim prophet, he didn't give a statement. And then the prime minister of the country, he announced a day of protest, and he gave a national holiday to go to the streets and protest against what happened about this movie that was made in America. And that is what has led, something in continuation to what we saw in Libya and Egypt. So it was not a surprise for us, but this church in Mardan, which I have seen with my own eyes, it's over 100-year-old church. It's huge. It's like a cathedral. It's on the Mall Road, which is one of the famous roads of the city called Mardan. There are some very nice industries in the area, very good people in the area. But this mob, which was mobilized by these fundamentalist extremist terrorists, they went in, and that is what happens. Ultimately, anything that is said about Islam anywhere in the world, the Christians of Pakistan are punished for that.
What is, because the contrast is often made, Pastor Khan, and you've heard it before, that when Christians are insulted, when they are defamed or mocked publicly in some ways or spoken against, it is not the immediate impulse of Christians to form a mob and burn a mosque or any other building, not even to form a mob. They may be incensed, they may be insulted, but they don't take violent action. Why is it, at least today, in areas like Pakistan, the immediate response, and it sounds like, from what you tell us, somewhat coordinated response, is of violence?
That's right. The Christians in Pakistan are only 3% of the total population. That's what they tell, although they are about 10% of the population, but all the senses are bad, and they don't want to show a greater population because then they'll have to give a greater representation in the government. But on the other hand, the Christians are so weak and poor that they are helpless and they are so scared to death to do anything, absolutely anything, which would offend the Muslims. And they would never come out and do anything in reaction. Like Christians always go on the teachings of Christ, love thy enemy, and it's not the eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Christians never do that in retaliation to what the Muslims do. They burn Shantinagar, a huge town, I told you last time, attacked by 60,000 terrorists in the middle of winter in 97. They attacked Goja, another city where they burnt alive several Christians in their homes, only on the trump up charges. Asia Bibi, a mother of five, is in the jail, who was on trumped up charges again. She was gang raped, and then they got her arrested on just false charges that she blasphemed against Muhammad. Now this 11-year-old girl is also waiting for her fate. Her case is still not decided, although the actual culprit who desecrated the Quran has been caught. He happened to be a Muslim cleric, but the charges are not dropped against this 11-year-old girl who is already with Down syndrome. This is absolutely total norm of life in Pakistan. Whenever they want something from a Christian, the strongest point they have is to bend him down, is to put blasphemy charges on them. And you don't need any witness. All you have to say is that he blasphemed Muhammad in front of me. And you're arrested, jailed, or even killed before you reach the police.
Is the goal here, Pastor Khan, in places like Pakistan, to drive out the Christian population entirely, to make it so intolerable for them that they emigrate and leave nothing but virtually a uniform Muslim population? What's the goal?
This is actually happening. This is a religious cleansing. It's like a genocide of Christians going on. If you see the decline in population in numbers in Iraq, if you see the number of Christian Coptics fleeing from Egypt, like we call this Arab Spring. This Arab Spring, democracy is coming to Middle East. This is absolutely nonsense what we are telling the American people. There is no such thing coming. The institutions of Islam, they are the Shiite Islam of Iran and the Sunni Islam of Saudi Arabia. They are trying to capture the of their own form of Islam. And that is like, you can give a particular example of Syria. The majority of the population is Sunni, which are Saudi Arabia-based, and the rulers, Assad family, is Shiite. They are trying to overthrow one. You could call in. The population is Shiite. The rulers are Saudi-based Wahhabis. So these are two institutions of Islam fighting. But on the other hand, by somehow or the other degrees, we try to say our democracy is coming, we'll support them. But eventually there is a massacre and genocide of Christians that starts right after that. You will see very soon, if Assad goes away and this radical Islam of Saudi Arabia takes over Syria, Syrians, there will be accidents of Syrians coming up because there will be genocide of Syrians going on. But in Pakistan in particular, Christians are being tortured, beaten, and murdered, their wives being kidnapped and forced to be converted to Islam. Girls, very recently, a pastor's daughter was coming from college. She was kidnapped in broad daylight, and nobody has ever seen them. And now they have produced a certificate in the court that she has embraced Islam, and their false certificate of marriage to some Muslim cleric. This is going on since Zia-ul-Haq, the military dictator, who Islamized Pakistan and brought in all this Kalashnikov culture in that country.
Finally then, Pastor Khan, what can we here in the West do for...
Number one, in the West, we should pray for our brothers in Pakistan. Number two, we should write to our senators and our representatives in the House that please put up a word, say something, stand out for those Christians who are suffering. But three, we have an undersecretary for discrimination of religions abroad who is a Muslim. Now, how would that undersecretary, who is a Muslim Indian, would stand up for the Christians of the world who are being persecuted and being slaughtered like, scapegoats?
Pastor Farooq Khan is a native of Pakistan. He's Associate Executive Director for Pablo, People of the Book, Lutheran Outreach, based in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. You can find out more about Pablo at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Khan, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day.
When we come back in the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, Dr. Andrew Steinman's going to join us. We're talking about the wisdom of Jesus, son of Sirach. It's not the Jesus of the New Testament. It's a different Jesus. And we got to find out who this guy is and why it is this book is recommended to us by Martin Luther. He says it's kind of a hodgepodge book, but it's a book of household wisdom, he says. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, September the 24th. Well, Francis recently entered the Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, and here's what she posted. After listening to Issues Etc. for almost 20 hours in the car during our most recent road trips, the ads for Lutheran Public Radio online had me convinced to check them out. Talk about setting the tone for your home. I put this on when we need to calm down or just get our hearts and heads going in the right direction. Plus, all my years of choir have me loving these choral works. That's what she's hearing at LutheranPublicRadio.org. And she posted a link to her Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Facebook.com/LutheranPublicRadio.org. Here's how you, too, can enter this contest. First, like our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/LutheranPublicRadio. And then you can invite your Facebook friends to listen to LPR, to Lutheran Public Radio. Send a text to your Facebook post and the number of Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. That email address, contest@issuesetc.org. We're going to give away a 4-CD set of 45 hymns titled Heirs of the Reformation to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most Facebook friends. And we'll announce the winners of those two CD sets, Monday, October the 1st. Thanks for helping us promote Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. We'll be right back with Dr. Andrew Steinman. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues Etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give, as opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion is left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or the tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support. And you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues Etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues Etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues Etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.